Well, I know that when you talk about legendary climbers like John Backer and with your company now, Sinnott Mountain Guides, you want to take these people and show them some incredible adventures and have them prepared to do the best that they can. But guys like John thought that that was sacrilege, really, right?
Yeah, well, what happened was, the way that the sport evolved, there was, some ethical considerations that became sort of entwined with the way that people climbed. And Henry was very much part of that too. So let's say in the 1970s, the idea was, well, we have to climb in such a way that we're keeping the sport and the experience as pure as we possibly can. And so they developed some rules. And one of the rules, had to do with not defacing the rock by placing bolts and things like that. Another rule was that you couldn't hang dog. And that meant if you fell while you were climbing and you couldn't just let the rope hold you there and then keep going, you had to lower down and start from the ground again. And Backer kind of enshrined those ethics. They call them traditional climbing. And sport climbing came, into being the late 1980s. Mm. And it was a totally different way of approaching rocks, where people would come in from above, they would rappel down, they would use power drills to put bolts in. And they were kind of approaching the sport more like gymnastics,
right?
See how hard we can climb and eliminate the danger. And Backer really didn't like that and didn't approve of it and fought really hard against it. And
literally too fought.
Yes, there was a famous brawl basically in the parking lot in Yosemite. I guess that was it's in the book, but early 80s maybe, I guess. But yeah, I wanted to lay the groundwork for how a guy like Alex Honnold could do what he did. And I felt like it was important to create the historical context so that people could see the evolution. Backer, it was Henry in the 1970s, and then Backer was the best free soloist in the late 70s and the 80s. Then there was Peter Croft. There was a guy named Dean Potter. I wanted to tell all of those stories so that people could understand where Alex fit in. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the younger climbers, they don't know the history, and they don't necessarily study it the way that I did when I was a young climber and the way that I still do. And, I want them to understand that a guy like Alex isn't actually operating in a vacuum. He's, the current evolution of something that's been going on for a long time.
It has been going on for a long time. Let's get back to Alex. When you go to El Cap and you find the route that you're going to go up, to be able to free climb it or free solo it, you don't just do it in one day. He did a lot of practice on particularly difficult parts of this, didn't he?
He did. I found out about his endeavor to go up El Capitan without a rope maybe, a year and a half or so before he actually went for it. And at that point, he basically said, yeah, I'm really going after this now. And I'm feeling like I'm ready. And then it was a process of about a year and a half where he started intensely training and also rehearsing the route. So going up the route over and over. So this is a 3,000-foot rock wall. That's just the vertical relief, and the amount of linear climbing is quite a bit more than that. The route's actually, fairly circuitous. And a lot of Alex's training would be, he would hike up to the top, and then he would come down with ropes, and he would set ropes on the wall, and then practice climbing up with a little kind of clamp device that would hold him on the rope if he slipped off, and he would do it by himself. Mm. And he was rehearsing the sequences, memorizing the moves, finding the easiest way to do different sections, but he was also going through this mental process of trying to get all the different crux sections of the route to a place where he could feel comfortable with them. And that, I think, is really the most remarkable part of the story, is the mental training that Alex did in order to prepare himself such that he could control his fear response and not panic and get himself into trouble when he was up there on the wall. And it's something that I think I investigated fairly thoroughly, and I wrote about in the book.
When the time came that he was going to be doing this climb, you were there. Were you covering it for a magazine? Or
I was there not as a photographer, but as a writer.
I was a writer.
And I was on assignment for a National Geographic magazine and, also doing some deeper reporting for my book. I was just talking to someone on the phone before I came here and was lamenting the fact that I didn't take photos or more photos, because there I was, like, witnessing, like, one of the greatest, athletic feats, in history, and I'm only documenting it with notes but not, taking enough photos. And so, yes, in the future, I think I need to be a little more diligent in that regard.
Well, I think one of the quotes that really struck me was during his climb, which was he started at 9:28 in the morning, and some, 4 hours later, he finished. You said it was almost unbearable to watch.
Yeah, that was true. There's some moments like that that people can see in the film. I was observing the climb with one of the cameramen, and he actually was looking away. He got his camera set up, wow. So the camera was recording it, and I felt like I had to actually observe what was happening, and I did, actually, because I needed the details so that I could write about them. And I was actually texting the details to my editor back at National Geographic, and he was adding them into the Google Doc in real time, because I guess a lot of people already figured this out, because I broke the news of Alex's climb for National Geographic, and the story came out like minutes after he did the climb, and people were like, how did you write that whole thing in like 3 minutes? Well, the truth is that I wrote it the night before, and I was hanging out with my editor. He came to the valley at one point, and he had asked me, if I could write another story about what if he fell.
Right.
And I said, no way, man. Like, sorry. Like, you're going to have to do that one, because I'm only going to, tell the positive outcome here. So it was unbearable. There were actually certain times, because I know the route really well. I've climbed it myself, and so I knew where those hard parts were. And on some of them, I looked away, and it was completely involuntary. I intended to watch him do certain moves, like the karate kick, which is the crux move. I intended to watch, and something deep inside me forced me to look away. Because I think, it was just instinct that I didn't want to actually observe in case he fell. And I remember looking back and thinking, holy shit, he did it.
Unbelievable. Well, people can see the movie, which, by the way, has taken home the Academy Award for the Best Documentary Feature, Free Solo. Highly recommended. I haven't seen it myself, but I've talked to folks that have, and they say it's just compelling from start to finish.
Well, we hope, of course, that it will come to Mount Washington Valley eventually. It seems like we're a little bit off the back, in terms of getting good films here. But I hope it will come through eventually. I have seen it 2 or 3 times, but my wife hasn't seen it. My kids haven't seen it. I know there's been people, I was just reading some stuff online where, I guess you could call them haters, who are saying, oh, well, this guy's setting a bad example. Like, other people are going to go and follow what he did and try to solo El Cap. That's just something you would say if you knew absolutely nothing about climbing.
But exactly.
You've been to Yosemite, or you've ever climbed. Like, I know you've done some climbing.
A little bit.
You're not walking up to El Cap and going up that thing with a rope.
No.
Like, that's never going to happen. I think the true measure of how remarkable it is, what Alex did, is going to be revealed in terms of how long it takes for someone else to repeat what he did. And I think there's a possibility that could be a very, very long time
Seems
before
like
that happens.
Mark Sinnott, the author of The Impossible Climb, Alex Hunold, El Capitan, and The Climbing Life. The book is out today. Mark, I thank you so much for joining us. We could go on forever and ever, but I'm hoping you will sign this before you leave today.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thanks, Roy.
The book is available at White Birch Books in North Conway.